Be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're continuing our series, Joy in the Midst of Trials. Joy in the Midst of Trials. And we're going to go ahead and review. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Joy in the midst of trials. You can't hear too good, Mother? You need to sit up here, maybe, or? Well, I think she's going to probably put in close somewhere with her hearing the aid things there. Amen. So let's do some reviewing. And it's crucial that we are reminded what joy is and its function in the life of the believer. Even in 1 week, you can have enough happen, really, in 24 hours, let alone 7 days, to forget, or the impact that it had last Wednesday can be lessened by the time this Wednesday comes. And that's why it's crucial, I think, that as a teaching pastor, that we review to refresh and encourage and uplift and call to your memory, and then try to go from there. Amen. So once again, we're talking about joy in the midst of trials. So one of the things I want to remind you is that joy is internal. Again, you say, well, I know that you've harped on it all this time and so on and so on. But it's just a reminder, joy is internal. Godly joy, Christian joy, the joy of the believer, that gift called joy from the Lord is internal. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was sometimes discouraged, was he not, by his circumstances, but he was able to maintain his joy. And so Apostle Paul has the same Holy Spirit that we have. The same blood that saved him saved us. So we can, if you will, describe ourselves along with Apostle Paul as being afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Isn't that good news? Can we not say the same thing of the Apostle Paul? As 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We've been afflicted, but not crushed, despairing, but not, perplexed rather, but not despaired, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Joy, if we maintain our faith, we're going to get to that later, but little peekaboo, if we maintain our faith in God, we can maintain our joy, even in crushing, despairing, persecuting, and struck down situations, even in the midst of that. Why? Because joy is internal. It's not, we don't have joy because of external circumstances. Now, we have joy because something external, somewhat external, that is God Almighty. But what he's given us is internal, and it is based on spiritual realities. I know you know that, but it doesn't. We need to hear it again and again and again. Because you can best believe that the devil is trying, in those 7 days from the Wednesday to Wednesday, he's trying to beat that out of our mind. He comes to steal and kill and destroy the word that was written, put in our hearts. Believe me, he's trying to grab at it. It's just the intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ that's keeping us in our right mind. Amen. Period. Mm-hmm. We cannot boast that we have our right mind and have any semblance of joy apart from the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So no matter how great our sorrow or unceasing, if you will, our grief, it is possible not to lose our deep-seated confidence that God is in control. That's good news. No matter how great our sorrow, how unceasing our grief, how disturbing our troubles, it is possible not to lose our confidence, our assurance that God is in control.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
That's good news.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Father.
That's good news.
Amen.
Another thought concerning joy. Joy is generated by humility. I love that. True joy is generated by true humility. A prideful person. Show me a prideful person, and I'll show you a person that lacks joy. Question. Yes, joy is generated by humility. Joy is generated by humility. It's almost as if you were to put it in sort of a metaphor for that would be joy is the batteries. I'm sorry, yeah, a humility rather is the batteries to joy. It generates it. You're humble, joy is able to feel and flood your heart, mind, and soul. Another thought. People lose their joy when they become self-centered. Well, that would make sense. People lose their joy when they think they deserve better circumstances or treatment than they are getting. That's an ouch right there. And for me personally, I know y'all only got steel-toed shoes and halos and wings, but for me, that's an ouch. People lose their joy when they become self-centered, thinking they deserve better circumstances or treatment than they're getting. They lose their joy. Just think of your own self. I'm just guilty. If I'm thinking that the treatment I'm getting is not what I deserve, at that moment my joy is gone. I'm not happy. Nothing is good.
Absolutely.
I got a hand raised right there. That crushed my toes. I'm like, Lord, I thank you for that revelation, because that's the root of my unhappiness, or that's the root of my loss of joy, or that's the root of me suddenly becoming bitter or angry. Because I'm thinking I deserve better when you don't really ever deserve better, to be honest with you. That's black folk included. Now, that's a hard statement, but we need to go there. Why do you lose your joy? Because your heart, your mind, and your focus go elsewhere. What do you mean elsewhere? Away from the things of God. Away from Christ Jesus, the Word of God. And once it starts to float off away from that, you've lost your joy. Because now you or me or us become the center of our focus. I deserve better. And don't let a white person mistreat you, because we're going to go into the racial thing too. The man ain't thinking about what color you are. They just having a bad day. Your color means nothing. But we can create this mindset. So we lose our joy by being self-centered, thinking that we deserve better circumstances or treatment than we're getting. Circumstances, here's another thought. Circumstances, people, and worry rob the believer of their joy. Circumstances, people, and worry rob the believer of their joy, of our joy. They are the thieves that come to take away our joy, to steal it from us. What is that? Humility, circumstances, people, and worry. Worrying about certain things. When we're worrying, we're not trusting God. Sure, that's going to rob you of your joy. Because remember, joy is linked to faith. If you're worrying, you're not in faith. So those three rob: circumstances, people, right? Because we just said it, if people aren't treating you right and you feel you deserve better, boom, joy is gone. We need to be aware of these things. So we I thank you, Lord, for showing these things to us so that we're more aware of maintaining the gift of joy that God, our Father, has given to us. Joy is what Jesus talked about literally hours before he was going to be tortured and brutally murdered. He's talking about his disciples' joy. Tell me that's not important. But you know what? We're guilty. We treat it like it ain't nothing. Excuse my aunt. We treat it like it ain't nothing. And if somebody just don't sit down like we're doing now and land on joy, the subject of joy, land on it and just worm's eye view it, burrow through the whole thing rather than slide over like a bird's eye view, we just won't grab it. So I thank God for him teaching us and landing on this series. Jesus died for our joy. Jesus claimed joy. He said, this joy that I'm giving you is my joy. I'm not just giving you any joy, Miss Darlene. I'm giving you my personal joy. You know, like somebody give you their cell number? Not just any number. Here go my work number. No, here go my cell number. You can get, this is mine. And the body of Christ treats it like no big deal. We let people rob us of our joy daily, hourly. We let circumstances rob us of our joy hourly. This secondly, we're worrying outside of our mind. A joyless Christian ought not to be, but you know there are millions of them. Truly saved, truly blood washed, blood bought. But no joy. And you know what accompanies that is no peace. Circumstances, people, and worry rob us of our joy. And on the other hand, humility and devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ and trust in God. Those three things: humility, devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust in God, which is faith. They protect our joy. Humility, devotion, and trust in God protect our joy. Am I going too fast? Okay. And the last, do I need to repeat it? Humility, devotion to Christ, and trust in God protect our joy. Lastly, joy, I love how one commentator put it, joy is the Lord's legacy to every believer. Joy is the legacy. That's what he's left to us, like an inheritance to every believer. How dare we treat it so flippantly? How dare we just allow any person, anything, any worry, just rob us of it constantly, consistently, and continually? One of the reasons is ignorance, because we don't know any better. Whoever heard that this is a legacy, though? I never heard that phrasing like that. We know that he said, I'm going to give you my joy, and the joy that I give you, the world can't take it away. We sing songs about it, but we're just singing. We're just singing, not really understanding what's really behind all of that. Joy, again, I'll give you the read it, went over it, defined it ad nauseum, going over it, just a skeletal definition. Joy is the deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. That's rich. When you can sit down at your dinner table, or get up in the morning, or lay your head on the pillow at night, and know that all is well between yourself and the Lord, that ought to bring tremendous joy. Thank you, Lord. That's why we can come to the throne of grace, not the throne of wrath. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news. I don't know how many deep breaths April has taken, but it's because we are a mess, and yet and still he's merciful, beyond merciful, every single day. Help us to appreciate you even more. His grace never stops reaching for us. After a while, we wouldn't even stop reaching for us. Like, you know what, I'm done. Greg Harris, I'm done with you. Gone with your bad self. Tired of reaching for you. We wouldn't even stop. Again, this fool messing up again? Joy is the deep down sense of well-being. Well-being is comfort, security, and safety that abides, lives in, dwells in the heart of the person who knows with deep and abiding, settled assurance that all is well between themselves and the Lord. That we're no longer under the wrath of God. We don't have that hanging over our heads. But you know, we take that with flippancy. We need help. We need your help, Father. We need you. Keep on praying if you've already started. If not, go ahead and start. I've been telling you for probably a year or so. The prayer that I pray is, Lord, help me to be continually conscious of my own feebleness, which is weaknesses, shortcomings, limitations, and inadequacies, and to distrust my own power, my own abilities, powers, might, and strength. And to always, and I added a couple more commas, always look to you for aid, help, support, and strength. Help me to be continually conscious of my own feebleness, my own inadequacies, my own weaknesses, my own limitations, my own shortcomings, because I got plenty. Why be continually conscious? Because then you're trusting God. Help me to distrust my own powers, might, abilities, and strength. Help me not to get settled. And that's why success can be so dangerous. That's why God needs to have us take some L's, some losses. We need losses.
Yeah.
When we get a few W's, we walk around here, chest way out the ear, as if God didn't do anything. God knows who to allow his children to experience success. He knows it. That's why we just can't go, oh Lord, do this, do that. No, they supposed to be taking that L. Keep taking that L. They keep taking it. Because what's the generation? What's generated? What generates joy? Humility. I'm a living witness. He knows how to break a person down. He broke a brother down. And I'm so glad. Wasn't joyous then. It was grievous. But afterward, boy, did it yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know the rest of it. Happiness is not joy. Happiness is based on happenings. It's all external. Joy is based on spiritual reality. Joy is not an experience that comes from favorable circumstances. No. We just talked about Apostle Paul maintaining joy in crushing circumstances. He was in prison for the gospel's sake. Beaten, shipwrecked, left out in the dark, out in the deep, stranded. Enemies among friends and enemies. Joy is not based on favorables. And thank God it isn't. Because then we know better than the world. I mean, the Lord got something, the peace and the joy that we experience is beyond the external. Thank you, Jesus. It's beyond this. What advantage would it be then? And Jesus knew all hell was going to break loose and get worse as things go. He's there writing through the Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:13, that evil men are going to go from bad to worse. He knows it's going to get worse, so I got to give you some joy. I got to give you something else, E-L-S-E, to focus on. Because I don't want you caught up in this crazy world. Because brother or sister, I'm telling you, it's going to get way worse. Than Jesus knew all that back then. So he told the disciples, I'm going to give you some joy. And it's my joy, not just anybody's joy. And it's joy that I'm giving to you. The world didn't give it to you. And therefore, the world can't take it away. They can't take it away, but you can allow them. You can allow it to be, you can lose it. They don't come and take it. You just giving it away. Oh, they ain't treating me right. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. And you just, you know, I feel I deserve better. I'm finna do me. When is gonna be my turn? When we think like that, we have completely removed God out of the picture. Hard times may be what God had wanted you to go through during that time. And a lot of times it is. Because he will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried, suffering, afflicted, beyond what you can handle. And he's faithful to make sure that doesn't happen. So that means if it's happening, it's supposed to happen. And I know my black Christians got to hear this. They need to hear this. Joy is not based on favorable circumstances or human emotion. Why? Because it is grounded in God. It is grounded in the Word. It's grounded on spiritual realities in the Word of God. I told you nothing human or circumstantial can add or detract from it. I tell you that to subtract, because it can detract. Detract means to distract you, to cause you to focus on something else. It clearly can do that, but it can't subtract. It can't take anything away from the actual joy. It's just causing you to lose focus. Because the joy is I know that's a thin line of you know, being thin there, but I don't mind being technical. Technically speaking, you haven't subtracted from your joy. It has allowed you to, they detract it because they caused you to become distracted.
Right.
Does that make sense? Something happened, your focus left, you chose it, and remember, nobody takes it away. Jesus said they can't take it away. It's us giving it away. Does that make sense, Ms. Darlene? And I want us to get gangster and just selfish on it, like, no, you are not gonna take my joy. You're really talking to yourself. You say, I'm not gonna let that circumstance, no ma'am, I'm not gonna let you, I'm not gonna let worry or anything else take my, I'm not giving it away, I'm done with that. See, now you got somebody new gotta come with something different. I'm not gonna do is keep giving my joy away over the same situation. That's, we must make that up in our mind. Does that make sense, Ms. Palmer? Put your hand on your hip, stomp your foot, and like, hey, that's that. I got the power of Holy Ghost. I got the promise of God's word. I don't have to give away my joy because that's what I've been doing. And I love the phrase giving it away. Why? Because nobody's taking it. What does that mean? It's up to me. I don't have to wait for anything to happen. I love that. It's up to me to hold on to my joy. Person, you can't take it away. Devil, you can't take it away. That's empowering, word of life. That's empowering. Joy is not automatically fulfilled in a believer's life. We got to keep remembering that. It's not automatically. Joy is not automatic. Why? Because it is manifested in the believer's life. We talked about through humility and through reliance and obedience to the word of God. Relying on the word of God and obeying the word of God. Because the proof that you're relying on the word of God is that you then are going to follow up and obey the word of God. So when you rely on and obey the word of God, then you will see joy rise in your life. Does that make sense? We talked about also in the last, in the past few weeks about looking at scripture concerning joy in the middle of suffering and troubles and so forth. We looked at Luke 6:22. You're not turning, we've went over that a whole bunch. But blessed are you when men hate you, ostracize you, insult you, and scorn your name as evil. He said, be glad in that day, the day that they hate you, ostracize, insult, and scorn your name, and leap, skip, gallop for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way their fathers treat them. And we're still reviewing. Thank you, Lord. He likes to just take his time because I know I need to hear it again. I need to hear this again and again and again. And it's really liberating. Whom the Son of Man sets free is what? Free indeed. You should know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. This is liberating for me, and as I believe it is for you. And any believer that receives this truth, even during these challenging times, are going to experience freedom a whole lot quicker than if they didn't hear it. Because you can get your mind, your heart, your mind, and your focus off of the things of the world. I'm not saying, as we said last week, to ignore it, just put it, give it in its proper place on the back burner. Back here somewhere. Too often it's right in front of us here. It's just too much here. And we're, you know, when you look at something, if you put your forehead on something, what's right there is all you're seeing. And what we've done, I'm just talking about just as a whole, is we put our forehead on a situation and we can't see anything else but that. And what this is doing, these reminders, as we're hearing the word on Sunday and Wednesday, hopefully meditating in the days in between, we're pulling back. Yeah, that's what my wife is doing like this. Yeah, we're pulling back. And so we're starting to see the, oh, okay, okay, now let me, okay, I kind of see, whoa, okay, they go to the Lord over there. They go to the Word, it's kind of in the back there. Let me spiritually, supernatural, this is all a spiritual problem, you know. Let me pull this back up here and get it back to the front. Let me, okay, now I got it now. Now, it centers us. That's why we say the Word is a lamp unto our feet. I don't just pray that just because it's a nice prayer and I've been hearing it for about 40 years. No, it's the truth. I need to know that truth. I need to know I'm off course. I'm off the path. I've wandered off. Thank God for the Word. It is a light, a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. It guides us. It directs us. It leads us. Glory be to God. It keeps us on point. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for your Word.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your Word. How can we keep our way pure? By keeping it according to your Word. Your Word is true. Sanctify them through your truth. Your Word is true. Man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Glory be to God. Must desire the sincere milk, the pure sincerity and purity of the Word, that we may grow thereby. I thank God for the Word. Well, I'm not gonna worry about it. We thank God there's no superintendents and all that behind us saying we just got to be done by this time. We can review and review and review. So we asked the question, you skipping, leaping, galloping for joy after you've just been insulted, after you have just been ostracized, hated, and your name taken for evil. Jesus says, be glad in that day when it happens. Leap, skip, and gallop for joy. And then we ask the question, how can the believer have such joy to that degree in the midst of difficult and troubling times? How? And we said it begins with the mind. You don't get this right, it'll never happen. You have to transform the way you think. I have to transform the way I think. We have to transform the way we think. And you know, when you see these things, you think like, that's what Romans 12 2 is talking about. God ain't crazy. You know how the child don't think, like probably little Sid, you know, like eventually the light come on. Oh, that's why. I get shocked if I put my finger in there or put a key in there with my finger attached to it. Oh, I see. Yes, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mental processes have to be completely renovated by the Holy Ghost so that we now have a new, complete way of thinking. Because that's the only way we can ever leap and gallop and skip for joy in the day that you're hated, ostracized, your name scorned, and you've been insulted. This has got to be changed. The first thing we need to do, as we said last week, is that we need to train and develop our minds to focus on things above and not to focus on the things on the earth while we are in the midst of trials and tribulations. So I'm going to say that again. What we must do by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we need to train and develop our minds to focus on the things above and not to focus on the things on the earth, all happening while we're in the midst of trials and tribulations. Does that make sense? So as we get ready to close, look at Colossians chapter 3 again. This is all review. That's right. This is God's situation. He knows we need to hear it again and again. I need to hear it again and again. I know y'all got your wings and the halo, but I need to hear it again. No, Miss Darlene? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Miss Darlene said, nope, not here. Colossians 3 and 1. Colossians 3 and 1. And we'll close here again. This is all still review. Again, we must train and develop our minds to not focus. It's not going to happen automatically. We said that. What is Timothy? Fight the good fight. Agonizomai. You have to fight this. You know it. You've been around in Christ Jesus long enough. You're seeing what's the onslaught of ideas and thoughts and philosophies and theories and reasonings and onslaught that we face daily, hourly. You know that. So we've taught on twice already, getting the word daily. This is a daily fight. We never can let up. Because you can best believe the moment you stop going forward, you're going backwards. There is no neutral ground. There's no middle ground. The car the devil drives doesn't have a neutral in it. It's either forward or backwards. His is only backwards. Colossians 3:1, therefore, in view of the fact that we have been raised up with Christ, raised up means resurrected. That word means out from the dead in the literal Greek, the definition. We've been raised out from the dead, dead people, spiritually dead, with Christ. Keep seeking, present active imperative. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We got to obey that. That's an imperative. It's active. You got to do it. Imperative, it's a command. Present, it's ongoing. Well, if we just obey that alone, it's going to calm down a whole lot of things that's going on in our mind, present company included. I'm guilty too. When you have a day where you're locked in and you had a time to worship the Lord basically all the whole day, I had one of those days today. Just worship right off the rip and the word basically all the way up until church. It's going to be a great day. You're just locked in on things above. Now, I know because of jobs, that's a challenge. You understand? I know because of life, that's a challenge. That's why we got to fight and say we can't use the day as an excuse. We still got to fight to get our mind back up on things above. Now, it's not a sin to do your job, which involves the earth, because that also involves things above in a sense. Because there's ministry involved, there are people you're ministering, the Lord is ministering to through you. You got children and all that people are, you know, so we still, in life, we just got to keep our focus. We need to hear the Lord constantly and not allow the devil to come in and we give him. He ain't taking nothing. We need to take that, we need to remember that phrasing. We're giving it, and we just giving it up. Because we said, that bothers me. We made that decision. It doesn't have to bother you. That's real talk, isn't it? Think about it. You have the power. We quote the verses, greater is he that is in me. But yet we act like it's not greater. Greater means stronger, mightier, wiser, greater than he that is in you. That's the Holy Ghost, than he that is in the world. But the world is steadily winning because we are letting him win, or her win, or them win, or the circumstances win. And I'll tell you something else. As we hear this teaching, be more aware of the Holy Spirit telling you, you're starting to lose the grip. You start to symbolically, metaphorically pull your joy out of your pocket and you start to give, you're about to give it away. You follow what I'm saying? You're about to give it away. You are starting to ease into being the center of everything rather than leaving the Lord to be the center. And he's going to warn you. I guarantee you that. Now that we know this in this way here, this is good stuff here. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to jump on this. Beware. And when he says, watch out, then you got to adjust accordingly immediately. Either shut up, leave, do what you got to do to maintain your joy. Because your attitude is, I'm not giving my joy away today. Nope, not today. It ain't happening. And I got the power to do it. And keep it, so to say, in your pocket. I'm keeping my joy. My Lord died for this joy. My Father God gifted this to me. That would preach, wouldn't it? I'm not giving this away. Are you kidding me? Just like you think, my mama gave me this. I ain't giving this away. Boy, get your crazy self on out of here. My mama gave me this. This is special to me. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2, and we're done. Lord will. Verse 2 of Colossians 3. Verse 2 says, set your mind. Be intent on setting your mind. And remember, present, active, imperative. Setting your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Set your mind earnestly and intensively. Interest yourself in a certain direction, which will be heaven, with concern or obedience. That's what setting your mind is. It means to earnestly and intensively interest yourself in heavenly things with concern and or obedience. It means to direct your mind to heaven. Think heavenly. Father God, am I talking too much? Father God, should I go over in this little crowd? Father God, should I take this job? Father God, should I stay at this job? Because God don't care that you've been somewhere for 7 years or 4 months. You still acknowledge him in all your ways. And he has promised, but you cannot lie, he will direct your path. Why? Because that's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. Even though externally may be rougher. Remember, Apostle Paul wasn't in no picnic situation. That's right. But he maintained his joy. And the Holy Spirit can help him do that. And I got the same rights and privileges that Apostle Paul has. As a matter of fact, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Lord Apostle Paul. Then our son can do the same thing. And that ought to be our attitude. Father God, Father God, Father God, what shall we say to these things? She just answered it, Father. Help us, Jesus. We need your help. You've taught us. Now we thank God that you can help us execute it. And we know your word promises that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So you're going to be right there with us in the fight. And I'm thankful for that, Father. And continue to show us how this looks like, what this looks like in each and every one of our individual lives as we walk out of here. How to maintain our joy in the midst of pain and suffering and trials and tribulations. We are so grateful to you. We are indebted to you forever. We thank you, the Lord Jesus paid a debt that we could never pay. Died a death we could never die. And for that, we are forever grateful. Help us. And we thank you. And we can say, we know you're going to help us because we can boldly say that you are our helper. And the Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, who teaches us and guides us into all truth. So we got it. We just got to go on and just do what we need to do according to your word. But we endeavor as we sit and stand before you right now, Father God, we're going to maintain our joy because you commissioned us to do it and enabled us to do it. And so we will do it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God.